Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Bearcat Coaches Show, live from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main in downtown Maryville. Produced and presented by KXCV, the flagship station of the Bearcat Radio Network. We've got a great show for you tonight, and we want to remind our radio listeners, as well as those in attendance here, that we'll be continuing the Bearcat Coaches Show all through March, and we'll be highlighting all the winter and spring sports through March as we will continue the Bearcat Coaches Show for the first time in the Coaches Show history. So we're excited about that. We're excited about all the sports at Northwest, and get a chance to talk about men's and women's basketball as we go through the season. The men are on a hot start with a 5-0 record. The women are doing really, really well as well. And we'll be able to do a whole lot more with softball, with baseball, you know, just all kinds of things, with tennis, cross country, you name it. We're going to highlight it all here on the Coaches Show during the winter and the spring, right here on KXCV, your flagship station for the Bearcat Radio Network. Tonight we've got Charlie Flohr, offensive coordinator of the Bearcat football team here. He'll talk about the season in a nutshell. We'll also talk with coaches Ben McCollum and Mark Kellogg, the men's and women's head coaches of the basketball program. And we'll be talking with women's volleyball coach Amy Phelps. So we've got all that for you tonight. We also want to thank Carson's, and we want to thank the student body. So if you give both Renee and Carson a nice round of applause, as well as Jim and Amy at the student body, we really appreciate them hosting this event, as well as providing all the free giveaway prizes that we give away each and every week as well. I also want to remind you that question and answer cards are at your table. If you'd like to ask a question of any of the coaches, we'll try to do that toward the end of the show. So please turn those into your server, and they'll get those questions to us as well. When we come back, John Coffey will join us, the voice of the Bearcats, and he will visit with Charlie Flohr of the Bearcat football team. We'll be right back after this one-minute timeout. You're listening to the Bearcat Coaches Show from Carson Sports Grill in Maryville, right here on KXCV, the flagship station of the Bearcat Radio Network.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Vaquero & Herzog, REMAX First Choice Real Estate of Liberty, Missouri, specializing in residential and commercial property in North Kansas City. More information available at 816-806-7777.
This Bearcat broadcast is brought to you by Bolin Auto and Truck Parts. Services include brake and suspension work and driveline facility. Bolin Auto and Truck Parts, family-owned since 1951, located at 10th and Mitchell in St. Joseph, 800-292-6546.
Bearcat Radio Network broadcasts are supported by the Compass Dental Group, Dr. Bruce Twaddle and Dr. Brian Viertaler at 231 East Summit Drive in Maryville. More information available at Compass Dental Group.
This Bearcat broadcast is brought to you in part by the Northwest Alumni Association. Contributions to the Alumni Association support the Northwest Foundation and its educational opportunities for students. For more information, call 562-1248.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, broadcast live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. And we're joined now by the offensive coordinator for the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football team, Charlie Flohr. And Charlie, it's good to have you with us here this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
Charlie, let's first of all talk about the game on Saturday, that tough 38-35 double overtime loss to Minnesota State Mankato, and a tough loss, but it was a heck of a ball game and a heck of a comeback out of your team.
It really was. You know, we're extremely proud of our kids, the way they battled back that second half. You know, the first half of the football game on both sides of the football, we just weren't able to make a few plays. The early turnovers by us offensively, defensively, they missed a few plays here and there, tackles, and, you know, just very uncharacteristic for a Bearcat football team. But, you know, coming out the second half, our kids, you know, they knew they had 30 more minutes of football left, and if we could get ourselves in position to make a few plays, we knew the ball was going to bounce our way, and it did. Coach Gordon was special teams. They had two big block punts. We converted touchdowns there. Defense got stops, and we got it into overtime. And the first overtime, we both scored, and the second one, we unfortunately had another turnover, and they went down and kicked the game-winning field goal.
When you look at the first half, obviously the turnovers hurt, and penalties, I think, also hurt you a little bit in the first half, but really, you were able to move the ball in the first half. I think that was something that would be encouraging when you went into halftime. You're down 21 to nothing, but I would think you would go in knowing that if you eliminate the mistakes, that you're going to be able to move the ball against Minnesota.
Yeah, Coach Doyle and I, we talked about this at halftime. We were really fortunate. The positions we put our defense in, they weren't very good. Anytime you have three interceptions in the first half and only be down three scores, and that's why we felt really good coming out of the second half. And like I said, it's just a tribute to our kids. They knew they could do it, and they just battled through it. They stuck together. There was no finger pointing going on, and that's just great characters of the kids that we have in our program.
I thought too, when you look at a couple of those interceptions in the first half, you have to credit Mankato State's defense too, because I thought they did a pretty good job, but maybe doing some things defensively.
Yeah, when at the beginning of the week when we watched Mankato, we chart and do all that stuff, but the one big thing about their defense is they were not going to give up many big plays. And, offensive coaches, sometimes we try and get a little greedy and take a big shot here and there, but they were such a disciplined defense the first half where they kept everything in front of them and made the plays that they needed to make.
It seemed like from a certain aspect, they were kind of the old type of an NCC team that you would go up against. You had a lot of guys that got kind of big in certain spots and very fundamentally sound team.
They were, the old NCC conference, that known for big physical football players, from the north, and up front on both sides of the ball, probably one of the bigger teams that we had seen offensively and defensively, in the skill, the back end, guys that were just able to make plays, not necessarily super fast or those, the good athletes in the back, but they were just very fundamentally smart, very well coached, give credit to their staff for getting those kids into position to make the plays they needed to.
As you talked about, going into halftime down 21 to nothing, at to a certain point you felt again, as you said, being down only at three scores was something that you felt good about at that particular point, and you came out second half and really seemed like a different team coming out to start the third quarter.
Yeah, we did. The defense went out and they got a stop, with what they were doing, and we came out, with a big block punt. We're able to convert, and once we kind of got the momentum going a little bit, our kids really thrive on that, and they just kept plugging away, and it wasn't necessarily, and like I told my quarterback and the rest of the offense at halftime, is in the game of football there's no such thing as a 21 point play, and if we could just go one play at a time, one series at a time, and if we could keep rolling, our defense had played well all game, and if they could keep getting those key crucial stops, and then with the big special teams plays that our team got, it just kept us going and going, and it got us into position to win the game.
Going into the game, Coach Doyle had talked about analyzing of the game, that he felt both teams had very good special teams. Did you feel that there was an opportunity to get some punt blocks, though, if things would work out well?
Please? Yeah, we did. I remember Coach Gordon coming in the meeting on Sunday, and his eyes got really big. He's like, I think we can get a few blocks on these guys. And we worked on them all week and talked about their weaknesses with our kids. And every time we were in a position to go after the block, we went after it. And good things happened. And like I said, we got the one. We should have scooped and scored the one for a touchdown, but unfortunately, our guys kept fumbling it around a little bit before we got in the end zone, but it gave our offense a chance to score 7 points instead of the special teams. But, credit to those guys. Coach Gordon did a great job of getting our special teams ready to go, and that was kind of the one area where we thought, offensively, defensively, we were very similar, but we kind of felt we had an edge on special teams, and it showed the second half when we came back out.
Well, the thing that strikes me is how much pride the guys take in being on special teams.
Yeah, that's the one thing we really stress to our kids. There's not your starters on offense and your starters on defense. If you're a starter on special teams, that is a very big key. We're not just a two-dimensional team, offense and defense, and then whatever's left plays on special teams. We felt for a long period of time that if we can gain that little extra edge on special teams. And like you said, kids take pride on that stuff. You know, we've got special awards for special teams player at the end of the week, and you know, with big hits or blocks or, you know, all those things. And they do. They really take pride on that. And we really stress, if you're going to take a play off, take it off on offense or take it off on defense, you're not going to come out on a special teams play. So, you know, just credit to our kids and wanting to do more.
And a game can definitely turn on special teams.
Yeah, it can. You know, when you saw that in the second half, when we got those big blocks, you know, we had a chance of a few big returns at that point. And, you know, in that kicking game, any little thing like that can get you, you know, get people going, get our sideline going, and got our crowd going. And once we got that one key block, we were ready to go.
Now, from an offensive scheme, did you do anything different at all in the second half, or did you just feel the way you were able to move the ball when you weren't having the penalties and turnovers in the first half, that you were just stay with that same game plan during the second
half? There was really nothing tricky. We wanted to come out and do the second, you know, we talked about just relaxing, you know. Everybody knew it was a big football game, you know, they knew the circumstances, but, you know, if you go out there and are a little tense, you're not going to be able to make the plays. Or if you're thinking too much about this and that, you know, with you thinking more and more about, you're not being able to play fast. And, you know, we just wanted to go out and play. You know, we always talk about good alignment, good assignment, and then snap count. If we could just focus on those things, the big plays could happen. Our kids could see that. And, you know, we just needed a little cool down at halftime to talk about those things to get our kids relaxed. And they did a great job the second half.
How much of a factor did the weather play? And primarily, I think probably the wind more than the cold, I would think, it played a little bit of factor. Did that, as far as the game plan go, do you factor anything in with the field conditions there?
No, not really. You know, we went out and practiced on the grass a couple times. You know, that was probably the biggest key is, you know, we're used to playing turf in our league. And up at Mankato, they had just the natural grass surface, which the only time we played on that was down at Arrowhead. But really, weather-wise, you know, it was just a little cold. The one great thing about our, you know, our kit, we're used to it just as much as they are, you know, from the wind and just the overall air temperature. So, you know, to me and the rest of our staff, I don't think the weather was a big factor for our kids. It was just, you know, just kind of getting them going a little bit.
Probably is more of a factor for the guys in the booth, and I know for us too, with that place where there's no heat in the booth, so that's a little change for us anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, the facilities that they have, as you saw, you know, we weren't accustomed to. We were on the other side in our box. We didn't have any heat, and we had to use the fluorescent lights for heat that came down through their lighting. But, you know, for them, they're, you know, they had a great home field, and you know, their crowd was good for Thanksgiving weekend, and you know, it carried it through.
We'll talk a little bit more about the Northwest crowd here in a little bit too, that made the trip up there. But as you look at the game, and before we talk about the overtime, let's just talk about Jordan Simmons and the type of game he had coming back from that injury. 17 carries, 96 yards, a touchdown, and then 4 catches for 25 yards and a touchdown in that overtime. And really phenomenal numbers, some of the best numbers he had all season going in. And you know, he had to be playing a little bit of pain out there too.
He did. You know, and what an awesome kid to come off of an injury where he had to go in and have surgery, you know, put a plate in his arm, and just to come out and play like it was his last game. You know, an unfortunately for him, it was his last game, but, you know, he played like every snap could have potentially been his last. And, you know, and for a kid like that to go out with the statistics that he had in that game and for his four-year career, you know, just a great kid, local kid from Lee Summit. And, you know, he tried to put everything on the line to get our team over the top.
Was able to score a touchdown rushing during the game, and then in overtime, a big catch for the score that helped, as far as that point, help you get to the point where you had a chance to tie it up.
Yeah, it was a great play by Trevor. We were hoping that we were going to get a two-safety look, and they did, and we shot Jordan right up through the middle of the field, and the linebacker kind of sat on it, and Jordan kind of showed his hands like he was going to block him, and then just bursted by him, and it was a great pitch and catch by those two kids, and it just, again, it spurred us where we needed it to, you know, get that touchdown after they had scored.
But just talk a little bit about strategy going into overtimes. You elected to go on defense to start with, and that way you had a chance to see whether you needed a field goal or a touchdown when you got the ball. And how does a strategy on offense change as you go into an overtime?
You know, it really all predicated on like you said, we always want to try and be on defense first, and you know, they went down and scored. So, you know, when we went in, we just wanted to stay aggressive. You know, we weren't going to just dink and dunk down the field. We wanted to continue to use the momentum we gained in the second half and just keep keep moving forward as much as we could, you know, using our check system and seeing what they were giving us. And, you know, they were able to give us what we wanted in that overtime, and we took advantage of it.
They're able to get the score. And then as you lined up for the point after, lined up initially in a two-point conversion scheme, forcing Minnesota State to call a timeout, and then came back out for the kick with Adolph. Was there any discussion at all about going for the two-point conversion, or was that just to try to see what Minnesota State
would do? We did. We were going to go for two. We talked about that. You know, it's just, again, we felt we had the momentum at the time, and we came out and tried to run our two-point play, and it, you know, it really confused them. And, you know, Coach Doyle and I were talking about, you know, hey, what's going on? I'm like, you know, they're confused. They don't know what they're doing either, and that, you know, and we were just unsure what they were going to come out and do after that timeout. And we just, you know, figured we have the best kicker in the conference, and you know, he was able to put it through and send us to a second overtime.
Yeah, guys never missed all season on PAT.
Yeah, Todd, he's a good one. He's another one of those senior kids that we're going to miss. We got a lot of production from, and you know, he was a good one for us.
Now you go into that second overtime. You turn around. You're going into the wind in the second overtime, and you have the ball first to start with, and unfortunately a turnover there in the back of the end zone gave Minnesota State then a chance to come up with a field goal to win it then.
Yeah, with the second overtime, you flip responsibility, so we had to go on offense first. And again, we were just trying to stay aggressive because we felt we had good momentum going in, and you know, we got down close, and just trying to check and see what they were going to do, and they end up duping us and not blitzing. And you know, opportunity where we were at, it was still only second down. And you know, for me, would have loved to see my quarterback just, you know, throw the ball away, knowing that we had an extra down. Was a tad bit late on his throw, and the corner came off his receiver and came into the middle of the field and caught the ball, which, like you said, going into the wind, kind of cut up into the wind a little bit, and he was able to make the play.
And you saw Minnesota State try to just angle for some field position to get the field goal then, and you have to hand it to their field goal kicker. That's still, even though they tried to work the ball in the middle of field and get it where it was a good position for him to kick with the wind, that was not an easy kick for him.
No, it wasn't, you know, and he was approaching the football, and when he went up to kick it, you could tell that he put all 100% of what he had into that kick just to make sure it got up high enough. We got great push from our front seven, and you know, from where we were at, it looked like we were going to get a piece of it, but you know, when he kicked that ball, you knew he definitely had the distance. It was just a matter of if he had the accuracy or not, and he ended up having it.
One thing before we talk a bit more about Mankato, and when you talk about the point afters and field goals, I think an area of the game that perhaps for Trevor Adams and maybe goes unnoticed is the job he does holding. There's some times he has taken some snaps and got them down, and that's a heck of a skill there.
It is. You know, I did that in college. It's not easy. You know, the time, the reaction time with the snap, getting the ball there, and it's not always the most perfect snap, and then setting the ball down, making sure you get the laces away from the kicker's foot, and he did. You know, with the weather conditions, snapping into the wind or with the wind sometimes, even that short 7-yard snap makes it a little difficult at times when you got those bigger bodies in front of him. And Trevor did a great job of getting the ball down all year long, and it's, like you said, not an easy trait.
And I thought he got one down there ready in the game. That really made a difference on Saturday.
Yeah, it did. The last one after we tried the two-point conversion, not the best snap, but he did a great job of putting the ball down.
Now, as I know, obviously, offense is your specialty here, but when you look at Mankato State and Minnesota State, Mankato, kind of going back a few years with the name there.
Yep.
But when you look at what the Mavericks do offensively, it really nothing real fancy about it. They run right, run left. They have the quarterback run a little bit, and then they kind of go deep a little bit on occasion. But it really predicates a lot on what their quarterback was able to do Saturday.
Yeah, their quarterback, you know, he had a great game for them. Coach Keene, the offensive coordinator, and acting head coach now. You know, he was at Nebraska Omaha a couple years ago before their program went down. And, you know, he's in the belief of, you know, kind of that old West Coast style offense. We're going to run the ball. We're going to run the ball. And then we're going to go over the top on you. You know, they're really good up front. They were able to move us around a little bit. And when they threw their play action, it was effective. And, you know, it's just the same style of football that we try and do. And that's why we felt going into the game, we are two very similar teams, and it's just going to be one of those games where, you know, we're all going to play as hard as we possibly can. You know, it's going to be a fist fight in a phone booth, as we usually say, you know, kind of a old slogan. But, and it was that kind of game.
And watching film of their offense and then some of what we saw on Saturday, seems like some of the quarterback John Wolf's best plays came on broken plays where he's able to take not much there and turn it into a positive gainer for him.
Yeah, you know, I'm not trying to speak for Coach Wright, but yeah, that was kind of the one thing they were worried about is, you know, he was a kid that didn't have great speed, but he was able to get out of the pocket and make plays, you know, and not necessarily the big 20 or, you know, 30-yard plays, but if, you know, we got some pressure, four or five-man pressure, and he was able to sneak out of it. You know, there were a lot of times we had one or two hands on the kid or we tried tripping his feet, and he was such a good athlete where he could get out of that, keep his eyes downfield and either make a throw for a first down or just take off and use his feet and just to create, you know, those third down conversions or potential, you know, second and long where he was able to get them into a manageable third down situation with his feet.
Again, we're talking with Northwest offensive coordinator Charlie Floor. And Charlie, I know it's always tough to end the season on a loss, but all but one team in Division II ends up with a loss. You end up the year with a 10-3 record. And still, when you look at the things that were accomplished this year, heck of a season for your squad.
Yeah, we're, you know, we had another 10-win season, you know, in our league, the MIAA, you know, when you go in and you're winning 9 to 10 games a year in our league, you know, a lot of people say it's the toughest Division II conference in the country. You know, we truly believe that week in, week out, the opponents that we face, you know, they're second to none, and it prepares us for, you know, the second part of our season, which is the playoffs. And, you know, we're just extremely proud of our kids. Like you said, it didn't end the way everybody around here wanted it to end, but for the way our kids battled all year long with injuries, you know, different circumstances that came about, you know, it's kudos to those kids for sticking together, you know, kudos to our staff getting everybody ready to go for, you know, each game every week, depending on if we were out certain kids, certain positions. You know, we felt we got our kids ready to go and in position to win a football game every time we went out.
One thing that's a mark of a successful season, when the all region teams are announced, you had seven players today that were named either first team or second team all region. As we go through those on offense, offensive lineman, a senior Rod Williams, and also senior kicker Todd Adolf. Those are a couple guys that you're going to be missing next year.
Yes, yeah. We, you know, extremely happy for Rod, for what that kid has grown. First day he stepped on campus here, he started out as a defensive lineman the first year, and I remember sitting with Coach Doyle and Coach Wright about him, and, you know, we just felt maybe moving him over to the offensive side of the ball was going to be better for him and his career here. And, you know, the kid stepped up coming from Grandview High School, you know, not known necessarily as a quote-unquote good football school, but the way that kid handled himself for the last 4 years and really battled through, stepped up, became a team captain this year and led our kids offensively, you know, as a good team captain. You know, and then Todd Adolf, like I said, an exceptional kicker from Omaha, came in, kicked all 4 years for us. Not quite sure on all of his percentages, but just when we needed a kick, the kid was able to come in and make a kick for us. And you know, both of those kids were truly going to miss.
And no one's going to forget the Central Missouri game with Todd a couple years ago down in Warrensburg.
Yeah, you know, that kick still stands out to me. You know, everybody teases me in particular when we won that kick. I end up jumping. It wasn't necessarily so high, but I end up rolling my ankle, and it was on film. So we came in on Sunday, and, of course, Coach Wright was a special teams coordinator at the time. He ended up blowing that thing up for everybody to see. So for me, it was a great kick, you know, and celebrating on the field, but I'll remember it for embarrassing myself as well on the sideline.
Now, on the defensive side, first team honors go to senior safety Nate DeYoung, as well as senior linebacker Colin DeBizer, and also junior cornerback Brandon Dixon. Those are three pretty good guys to be on.
They are. You know, I'm going to start with Nate DeYoung. You know, what a great kid coming from Northwestern Iowa, a kid that wasn't really necessarily heavily recruited, played quarterback and played safety. But he was one of those, quote-unquote program kids where he came in, didn't play a lot as a freshman, sophomore, even, you know, last year as a junior, was elected team captain this year, ended up being a starting safety for us. Not sure on how many exactly picks that he had on the air, but, you know, was a great leader for us, for Coach Gordon in the back end, got our kids in position to make plays. Colin DeBizer from Geneseo, Illinois. You know, again, one of those kids that wasn't heavily recruited, kind of a program kid, you know, waited his turn, and, you know, ended up being another team captain and, like you said, an all-region team. But yeah, we're extremely, you know, happy for those kids and what they've done for our program. But like you said, we're also gonna miss them.
Now you got one guy coming back out of that group, Brandon Dixon, that defensive back there.
Yeah, you know, when we got the twins signed, sealed, and delivered, we knew they were going to be special. And the one thing that we're extremely happy about those two kids is they're very unselfish. You know, they're kids that are originally from Florida, came from Joliet Junior College up in Chicago. But when they came to this program, they knew they could have went somewhere else, you know, Division I school. But when they came in here, they really bought into being a family. And that's the one thing, you know, we haven't had any problems with those kids. You know, they've really helped our younger kids out. They've been up in my office every day this week trying to help us out with, you know, where kids are at. And, you know, they're just awesome kids, you know, and we're really happy to have him and his brother back for another year.
Now, second team honors went to senior Jordan Simmons as a return specialist and also sophomore punter Kyle Goodburn.
Jordan, you know, he was kind of our Mr. Utility player. We moved him around, you know, running back, receiver, but he was really deadly back there, catching both kicks and punts, and you know, with him end up breaking the MIAA record this year in kick returns. You know, just what an unbelievable player again, and a very unselfish kid. And then you got good old Goody punter. You know, he when we needed a kick, we got the kick. And you know, there weren't a lot of times he was called on this year. But you know, if it was once a game or seven times a game, he was able to not necessarily, you know, get the big kick or get it off. But you know, there were a lot of times where he changed field position. You know, or those are things that kind of go unseen in the game of football and in big games where, you know, if offense is struggling a little bit, but if he can get the ball kicked and, you know, 50, 60 yards downfield and just change the field position and now make the opposing offense march the whole rest of the field. So, you know, just great kids. You know, Goody was a good one, and we're fortunate to have him back for two more years.
Now, I know with the football season ending, it really doesn't end the work you guys have. If nothing else, you guys are putting in more hours now as you turn and get ready for the recruiting trail here.
Yeah, that's right. We've spent all this week just focusing on our own individual areas, watching kids, talking to coaches, you know, kind of see where kids are at. And then the next couple weeks we'll be out into high schools talking with those kids, talking with coaches, doing as much research as we possibly can. You know, obviously for us, we're going to go out and try and find the best student athlete. So, you know, there are times I feel like an FBI agent just trying to find out what kind of character he is. You know, is he in any trouble? You know, what kind of activities are those, you know, is a kid in? And, you know, we want the best all-around student athlete that we can possibly get here, because, you know, we know just not only the best athletes are going to, you know, be on the field, but if he's a high-character kid, you know, if he's a good student of the game, good student in the classroom, he's going to end up making it here and making it in life. So
now when you look at recruiting at this point in the season, do you look at what you're going to need maybe 2 or 3 years down the line with these guys coming in with the redshirt year, or do you try to see, maybe plug in what might be an immediate need as well?
It's mainly a 1 to 2 year process. You know, with our program and where we're at, we're pretty established with our redshirt program, where we're going to try and redshirt every single kid, freshman, that comes into our program, with the exception with maybe a specialist like we've been able to do. You know, if a kid's able to come in and play right away, you know, we're going to put the best 11 on the field. But we try and look a year or two ahead and see where we're going to be at, how many kids we're losing this year, how many essential seniors we're going to lose that next year, and just try and create a pool of how many kids we have at each position. And then, you know, also scholarship money, you know, with our level at 36 scholarships, and we have it broken up by position, how many we're going to try and spend at each position, and just, you know, go from there and see where we're at, and go out and find the best kids, and we'll come back in 2 weeks and collectively watch everybody as a staff. That we feel, you know, and that's the one great trust we have within our program is, you know, I've never played defense before in my life, but the defensive staff has enough faith and trust in me where, you know, if they know what we're looking for, you know, defensive line, we want a big, long body kid that's, you know, physical, you know, in secondary, you know, a kid that, you know, is physical and make plays and hit, you know, and likewise with our defensive staff. They know what we're looking for offensively at certain positions, so we've got enough faith and trust in our staff to go out and find the best kids, and then when we come back in 2 weeks, we'll put our list together and then take a week off for Christmas, enjoy our families, you know, go our separate ways with trips, and when we get back after Christmas, then we've essentially got 6 weeks before the February 6th signing date to put the best class available that we can.
Charlie, I certainly appreciate you being here with us this evening, and And it's always a pleasure to work with you and the rest of the staff, AD, on down throughout the season, guys. So we talked about after the game on Saturday, you guys really make our job a lot easier.
Well, and you guys are the same. You know, the one great thing about Maryville is the support that we have here, you know, and that's what keeps, you know, everybody around. You know, we've got the best fans in Division II, all sports around. You know, our people are very supportive of not only our program, but all the programs around here. And you know, we're such a family within our athletic department and then with all of our boosters and fans around here that, you know, it makes it such a special place. And it's, you know, that's what keeps us going day in and day out to try and put the best product on the field and put a show on for everybody else around here. So we appreciate everything that you guys do and everything around here.
All right. And what a great crowd that you guys had on Saturday.
You know, kudos to our people. You know, where we were sitting, normally we're on the home side so we can see the visiting crowd. But this week up at Mankato, we are on our side, so it was hard for us to see our crowd. But from everybody that I talked to, I think we outnumbered the Mankato crew. I know it was Thanksgiving for them and for everybody, and there wasn't a lot of students there on campus, but for our fans to drive the 5 or 6 hours that it took to go up there, you know, again, unbelievable for our support that we have from our fans, from our people that truly believe in the Bearcat Nation.
And before we let you go here, too, we've got a question from the crowd dealing with the returning receiving core, both wide receivers and tight ends, and wants to know maybe what appears to be some of the help you're looking for at those positions for next year.
From our receiving core, you know, we're going to lose Tyler Shaw. We got a tremendous amount of production out of him this year with, you know, the kid's probably one of the fastest kids I've ever been around, and he showed that numerous times this year. And he really built himself as a football player, not just being a track star that played football, but he turned his body around. He really wanted to be a football player, and he showed that this year with his physical ability and being able to catch football. Losing John Hinchy, another kid from Kearney, Missouri, you know, again, one of those program kids that really didn't come along until this year. And you know, so we're going to lose those two kids at the receiving core. We're going to lose Jordan at the tailback spot. And then really Vinny DeFeo at the tight end spot. He was another one of those program kids that just kind of waited his turn, had some really good tight ends before him that had came through our program. And this year he kind of knew where he was going to be at. And he did a lot of good things for us. So, you know, losing all those kids, but receiver's going to be big for us. You know, we're going to have to go out and find some impact guys as best and fast as we possibly can, because we know, you know, just within we've got to find production, and to stay competitive in this league, you've got to have good skilled kids. And at that position, you know, that's the one that was kind of concerning for us a little bit. We've got great kids in our program, but we're missing a lot. We're going to miss a lot of production out of that position. Running back wise, you know, we were able to show all season long. We've got some good tailbacks in our program, and they stepped up the last couple of weeks with Jordan's injury. So we're really excited about that program, that position. We've got some kids that we redshirted this year that we're really excited about to see what they're able to do. And the same thing with tight end. We got Joel Gantz back. We've got some other kids who are kind of third and fourth string guys that didn't get a lot of playing time this year, but we feel on the cusp of being pretty good. So we're really excited about what we have coming back offensively. Obviously, having our quarterback position back helps with one more year, and we're just losing Rod up front. So, you know, the core guys that we've got coming back, if we can kind of get a few skilled kids at those particular spots, receiver in particular, we feel we can have a good year offensively. So,
all right, well, Charlie, thanks a lot for being with us.
Yes, thank you.
That's the assistant coach for Northwest Missouri State and the offensive coordinator, Charlie Ford, with us this evening on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. Stay tuned. When we come back, Rodney will be back, and he'll talk with Amy Phelps, the new head coach of the Northwest Volleyball Team, formerly the interim head coach, but she's the head coach now. So we'll be back and talk with Amy right after this timeout on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699. Today's broadcast is underwritten by Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Services include open bowling daily, lanes and cosmic bowling for all ages, as well as lane rental for special occasions. Bearcat Lanes and Lounge, located at 1803 South Main, 562-2571.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by St. Francis Hospital and Health Services in Maryville. Founded in 1894, St. Francis Hospital and Health Services provides health care for residents in northwest Missouri and southwest Iowa. 660-562-2600.
Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network is brought to you in part by the Nottoway Valley Bank, serving northwest Missouri since 1868. Services include online banking and e-bill pay at nvb.com. Locations in Maryville, Savannah, St. Joseph, and Mound City.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Carson Sports Grill as our Bearcat Coaches Show rolls on. And I'd like for you to give a nice round of applause to the 11th head volleyball coach of the Northwest women's volleyball team, Amy Phelps, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Amy, it's nice to have you with us. And on Tuesday, it was made official. The interim tag was pulled. You are the head coach of the Bearcat volleyball team. What's it mean to have that interim tag pulled out? And now, this baby's your program.
No pressure. It just means, you know, that Dr. J and Rin have faith and confidence in my leadership, and, you know, it means a lot, and for them to move forward with me as the head coach. So I'm just really honored.
Talk a little bit about this season, kind of a wrap of this season. You were 15-17 overall, 9-9 in the MIAA. Talk about the season and how you thought it went, and also some of the players that stood out for you.
We started 5-0 in conference, which I think was the best in I don't know how many years, 15 years or something was the statistic. I thought for the people that we played that, you know, that was what should have happened. And then I thought it was really going to give us a lot of confidence going into the harder part of our conference schedule, that they'd be confident walking in against Washburns and Central Missouri States and Truman's. And, you know, we struggled a little bit after that 5-0 start, but I think out of the end of it, I think we were a stronger team, and we won a couple matches on the road and showed that we wanted it more, and it took us a little bit to rebound from that. But all in all, our players showed a lot of tenacity to be able to come back from losing the next six, and just saying, you know, we want to get better and we want to continue, even though, you know, we haven't been able to get a one there for a little bit. And it really came down to our senior leadership. Tori Beckman stepped up, and she stepped up with the amount of digs that she was digging per match. She had crazy numbers like 36, and she was averaging a dig above anybody in our conference on the statistical category. And so it was very impressive from her standpoint that she was like, I'm not done. I want to step up and really make a statement. And from that, our team really stood up and said, we want to go with you. I thought we were just making strides in the sense that, you know, our big goal was to make it into the conference tournament, and I felt like that we were getting to a point where our leadership was really stepping up from the player standpoint, that I was excited to see what we could do within that tournament. And you know, we were pitted up against Central Missouri State, and we, you know, the third time's a charm, you like to say, but we knew it was going to be a tough match on the road, and we were going to have to go in there and play the underdog role. You know, we lost the first set, and we spanked them the second set, and we made a statement. And it was a lot of fun to watch our team take them apart, and they really had no answer for us. And then after that, they got their feet underneath them, Central did, and we just didn't have an answer for some of the things that they were coming up with. So, you know, we took a set away from them, and I was happy, but it's obviously something that we need to work on in the future as far as not just taking sets away and being happy about that. We need to take matches away from the top three teams, four teams in our conference, and that's what we're really looking to build on.
You know, you got to be happy. As you mentioned, you picked up some road wins, and I'm sure you want to build on that. But you also, you know, you really took a lot of teams to, you know, the fifth game.
Sure.
You won some of those, and you
sure.
and you didn't some of them. But, you know, over last year, you took teams further out.
Yeah, I think that the older that our players are getting, they're understanding the confidence that they're developing. And I think that's what a fifth game really is about. It's about who wants it more at that point. And it's a game to 15, not a game to 25. And so it comes down to a game of errors. You know, that's obviously something we're going to focus on in the off season, is really limiting the amount of errors that we're making, because we're just giving those points away to other teams. And that's what it comes down to in that fifth set. Who's going to play the most perfect volleyball? Who's going to play the flawless volleyball that needs to be able to put the ball away and to make less, you know, amount of errors? And so I think we made some strides there. I think we're still, we have the parts, but we're still a young team. And I think that we have, you know, nowhere but up to grow. You know, we've signed three players here in the early signing period, and we're excited about what they're going to be able to add to our talent, and just the depth that we already have on our team. But we have the pieces, and I think people understand that. I've heard people in our conference where they're a little scared of what we're going to be able to do here in the next 2 or 3 years, and I like that. I like to show people that we're coming. And, you know, we just need to put a structure together. That's more than something that's going to be, you know, a short-term fix as far as what was happening, you know, for this season. I didn't have a lot of time to plan for that. And, you know, it's going to be nice to be able to sit down and really create a structure and a program that our team can jump on and follow.
You know, before we I've got some questions to talk to you about the future of the program. But before we get to that, and you're no stranger to the Bearcat Coaches Show. You've been our guest a couple of times this year and brought some players as well. But let's reminisce a little bit. You are the 11th head coach of the Bearcat volleyball team. But talk about the road and how you got here.
Well, I played my undergrad at Graceland University. And I was the starting setter there my sophomore through my senior year. Ended up going there for 5 years, and that's where I really got my coaching, you know, under my belt. Usually when you're in an NAI school, they don't have a lot of coaches. You don't have paid assistants a lot for volleyball, and they rely a lot on student assistants to be able to step in there and provide help, and that's what they needed from me. They needed help, and so I stepped up and became the assistant coach for the women's program and also for 2 seasons for the men's program, which I think is something fun to talk about on my resume, because I've had, you know, experience of coaching guys along with women, and obviously same game, but it's totally a different game with the different sex. And I think that it helped me a lot learn how to coach both, but I think I brought a lot over to the women's side. And then from there, I actually was a Bearcat, and I came here and got my master's. I was the grad assistant under Lori Slight. And then from there, I was trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life. You know, you came to that juncture, and there was an opportunity that came open in Alaska, and it was a Graceland grad that we all know each other. And so I went up there to be the assistant coach at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. The first 2 years I was the assistant, and then I was named the associate head. And so for the next 4 seasons I was that associate head, and then I was trying to figure out, you know, someone else to work with if I was going to become a head coach, and this position came open as far as an assistant. And I had never worked with a female before. And I thought it would be important for me to work underneath a female as an assistant. So I took this position, and that's where I've been since. Go ahead.
Let's talk a little bit about the future now and your plans for the team. You talked a little bit about it earlier, but your plans for the team moving forward.
The first thing is stability. I think that stabilizing the program is what we worked a lot on this fall. They were getting used to me. And regardless if I was interim or not, you know, I have a first year underneath me, and stabilizing who I'm going to have as an assistant, who's the staff's going to be, and get those you know, those unknowns taken care of, so that we can move forward. As far as spring season and volleyball, fall sports are a little bit different because we don't have that preseason like basketball would have, for example, that can build their team up to where they need to be before they even start their season. So ours is kind of backwards in the sense that now we get to spend time in the technical side of volleyball, and get our players light bulb moments, so that they can be ready for the next season. And so just based on what we want to do with the spring is the technical aspect, to be able to not have that pressure of performing and not have a win-loss record on your shoulders, where you can really dig into the technical side and the physical side and get them where they need to be.
What type of student-athlete are you looking for, and maybe what, you know, positions or girls you're trying to add to the team to add that stability and add that, you know, the winning edge for you?
The type of student athlete we really look for is just a good, well-rounded person. You know, we want to know what type of character they have, much like Charlie was saying, and we want to you know, grades are an important factor for us. For females, we found if they have good grades, then usually they have their stuff together. And you know, you don't want to find a student athlete that can't balance, you know, the workload that it takes to be a student and an athlete. We want to find someone that can do both, and they can do it well. One of the goals that we want to go after is going after the ABCA All Academic Award, which is a 3.3 as a CUME, as a team. And it's something that we did regularly in Alaska. And you know, took a lot of pride in that our athletes were, you know, academias, that they understood what needed to happen for that to occur. And we need to get back to that here at Northwest and really push for that so that it happens that we're student athletes. And so just real rounded players. We're looking for one more position player for next year. We're actually three quarters finished with our positions for the 2013 class, but we're looking for an outside player, and we're looking for someone who can make an immediate impact. We're not to the position yet in our program that we can bring people in like football and redshirt them. And now when they're juniors, now they start playing. We're not there yet. So we're still looking for people that can come in and make immediate impacts as a freshman and as a sophomore, and that's how we sell it. If you want to see playing time right away, then we're a good fit for you, because that's what we're looking for. And obviously someone that wants to be part of the Bearcat family and that would enjoy being in Maryville and obviously understand what it's like to be here at Northwest. So those are some of the things that we look for.
Amy, congratulations on becoming the 11th head coach
of
Northwest.
Appreciate it.
Folks, give it up for Amy Phelps, the 11th head coach of the Northwest Missouri State University Bearcats. When we come back, we'll be talking basketball, and we'll do that right after this one-minute timeout. You're in tune to the Bearcat Coaches Show right here on KXCV, the flagship of the Bearcat Radio Network.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699.
Today's game is being underwritten on the Bearcat Radio Network by national investors and Northwest alumni, RGO Smith and Greg Wilson. Services include asset protection and retirement planning, estate organization, and insurance options. National investors with a national office in Redfield, Iowa.
Today's game is underwritten by Shelter Insurance, providing auto, home, life, and business insurance, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance protection reviews. More information from Shelter Insurance agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, and Jonathan Miller of Mound City. Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network is brought to you in part by Mr. Goodson's in Maryville, serving sub sandwiches, hot pastas, salads, soups, and sides. Delivery service is also provided. Mr. Goodson's at 121 South Main in Maryville, 582-2368.
And welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, broadcast live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, joined now by the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State women's basketball team, Mark Kellogg. And Mark, a good season up to this point, 4-2 on the year after a trip to Denver, Colorado this past weekend, where he went 1-1. And let's just first of all talk about the win over Texas women's, 63-40, got off to a great start in that game. And really, when you look at some of the totals, they're forcing 33 turnovers, including 23 steals. A very impressive game there.
Yeah, no, it was a really good game for us. And defensively, we challenged our kids to step it up. Maybe we thought our ball pressure could get after them a little bit. They had played the night before, too, so they had to play Colorado Christian the night before. So we really wanted to force the tempo a little bit. We did that early, got up 42-17, I believe, at halftime. And we coasted a little bit and didn't play very well with the lead, but a solid win for us on the road. First true road test, I guess, in the regular season anyway, on the road. So, yeah, solid win, good team. They just won the Lone Star a couple years ago, so they've had a good program.
Then after that, they faced the host school, Colorado Christian, a 71-68 game there, just losing that one after having a lead throughout some of the game in the second half. I think he had a lead about 6:14 left, but just kind of talk about the way that matchup went for you.
Well, yeah, that was a back-and-forth affair. Both teams were pressing and trying to get after each other defensively. And it was back and forth the whole second half. We had, I think, a 6-point lead, maybe 5 at half, got it to 7, and they got rid of that real quick. And so then it just went back and forth until about 5 minutes to go, and we just didn't execute. It was kind of William Jewell all over again for us. Is the last 5 minutes of the game, we turned it over 4 times, took 5 threes, missed every one of them. I think we only scored once. So we just didn't execute down the stretch. We've worked on that. We've done situational type stuff every day this week. We've showed them on film. And it's just a young group that hasn't been in that situation a lot. You know, right now we're starting a junior, three sophomores, and a freshman. So it's just youth, I think, more than anything else, and a new coach, I'm sure, and new system. So we're trying hard to, you know, eliminate that, or at least to alleviate it a little bit if we can, so the next time we're in the situation, we're a little bit better. But William Jewell went and beat Pitt last night, you know, number three team in the country at Pitt. So now even that bothers our William Jewell loss even bothers me that much more now. And William Jewell could go on the road and beat Pitt. It tells me that maybe we aren't that far off.
And when you look at the Colorado Christian game as well, Annie Matthews, a big game, 16 points, 10 rebounds. Good performance for her there.
Yeah, no, I thought Annie and Timber were really good. Timber, I think, had 24 in that game. Annie, a double-double. Annie's starting to play a little bit, figured out what we're asking of her. Maggie Martin kind of getting going a little bit too, a little hit or miss with her, but for the most part she's going in the right direction, and Timber's really stepping up, and Timber's going to be a really good player for us because she can just score in a variety of ways.
I know in the first few games you're getting some great performance with players off the bench. Are you seeing the starters now kind of pick up where you want them to be right now as well?
Yeah, I mean, our starts have been a lot better. That was our issue the first three or four or five games in, including the scrimmages. We weren't starting at all. We were digging ourselves in a hole. So, no, I think we've eliminated that. We're starting to develop some actual roles, I think, for this team. You know, a rotation of about eight or nine now, so we're not extremely deep. So we have to be a little careful with the way we want to play and probably how we can play when you only have about eight or nine. So, you know, that's kind of the biggest challenge right now is keeping them all healthy and active and excited. We have a group of guy practice players that come in, so we utilize them even today to come in to give our kids some rest when they're not in and just to make us better.
Now, as you look ahead toward this weekend, you've got a trip down to Oklahoma, Claremore, Oklahoma, to face Rogers State team that's making that transition to Division II. And I think going into this week, they had a 6-1 record. Talk a little bit about the matchup with Rogers State.
Yeah, no, good, solid team. NAI, like you said, transitioning to Division II, beat a couple Division II teams, and their one loss was to a Division II team. So I think they're eighth or ninth in the country right now. They have six seniors on their team. It's a new coach, but six seniors. So veteran group, a couple kids that really shoot it, a really good post player, I think. So, no, we'll be challenged, no doubt, down there. That would be a quality win if we could go down there and pick that one up.
Now, I believe that's the old stopping grounds for athletic director Ren Baker, I believe. Has he helped you out a little bit as far as travel tips or anything for down
there?
Yeah,
he has. And, man, that guy knows how to eat. Because I went and asked him for advice for hotel and food, and all I got back was the great dinner place with desserts. I'm like, Ren, we don't do desserts. Like, we're not giving – this is the night before the game. I don't need a dessert place. So he had tell me all the desserts they had. And then he had a breakfast place that served, like, these huge pancakes and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, great, I don't know if we need that. And then fried chicken after the game, or chicken coop or chicken house or something for the post-game meal. So, oh, yeah, Ren was more than willing to help. It was just all in regards to food for some reason.
Now, you've been on a long trip over Thanksgiving to Denver. This is an extended trip down to Oklahoma to face Rogers State. Just come as a good time as far as trying to build chemistry with the young team?
Well, no doubt. And we need to learn how to win on the road. We haven't won a true road game yet, so this is another opportunity to go and win in somebody's house, as we say, or crash the party is kind of my analogy a little bit. Is we need to go in there and beat somebody on their home floor and start just that mentality. And, you know, we got in that close game against Christian and we didn't respond. And I, you know, read a quote, I think, today that concentration and mental toughness are the margins of victory. And right now I think we are so close, but we're not winning those games, but we're not quite concentrating. We're not executing. Our toughness level's probably not quite there. We're playing in games, but still playing in games and then figuring out how to win games is still a completely different deal. So we got to go into some of those kind of environments and figure out how to win.
Now, you played a very tough non-conference schedule against some very good teams. I would imagine from another standpoint that really has to help you to get ready for the NCAA season, which is right around the corner next
year.
Yeah,
it is, and I'm trying not to look at that, but I do know it's Wednesday, obviously less than a week away, with two home games. So, you know, for us, we're going to have two league games before Christmas. You want at home. You know, hopefully maybe we can go get Rogers and you get a little confidence coming into home against Lindenwood and Kearney. You know, you feel pretty good. And then we get Midland right before the break. So it could potentially maybe be a little stretch where we could have some momentum at least going into the holidays.
Hey, well, what about Lindenwood? Have you had a chance to look at them much?
I have not. Not even for 1 second yet until we figure out Rogers State. But, you know, for us it's been so much more, which is a little different for me because I am a big scouter and I want to go through what the other team does. And we don't not do that, but it's... We have so much to do with our team. You know, it's so hard for me right now to spend too much time on anybody else because I could use 6 hours a day just on Northwest women's basketball, let alone whoever we're playing.
And, again, obviously new to the MIAA, but the conference last couple, 3 years kind of opened up the conference season a lot earlier. But it used to be traditionally January would be your first conference game, so it really puts a little more pressure to get the team ready to go early in the season.
Yeah, it does. Nothing new for me because in the league I came from, we started this weekend with conference. So you only played four non-conference games and went right into conference season. But if you haven't done that, it is. And the importance, you know, games in December now mean everything as they do in the end of February. And that's a little odd that if you want to win a conference championship, you've got to win on December 5th. You know, that just doesn't, it's not always that case. It is usually starting January 5th, you start conference games. So we'll tip it off in a week, and that's okay.
All right.
With the punches.
All right, Mark, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks, John.
That's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State women's basketball team, Mark Kellogg, again. Mark's got a big game coming up on Saturday with Roger State in Fillmore, Oklahoma. When we come back, we'll continue to talk basketball with the head coach of the Northwest men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. That's coming up right after this timeout on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699. Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering 24-hour emergency service, locksmithing, auto glass, rock chip repair, storefronts, and entrances. Located at 5th and Buchanan, 582-3131, or at MaryvilleGlassandLock.com. Northwest Missouri State Bearcat Sports on the Bearcat Radio Network is brought to you in part by the Bearcat Booster Club, assisting the athletic department in funding improvements and providing equipment for the various teams. The Bearcat Booster Club, 562-1713.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway County Economic Development, whose services encourage people to live, work, and do business in Nottoway County, providing regional employment, health care, and educational opportunity. Nottoway County Economic Development, with more information at MaryvilleMo.org.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, again broadcast live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, and joined now by the head coach of the Northwest men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. And, Ben, you got somebody special there with you to help out with the interview.
Yeah, Tate wanted to get on, my youngest son, Tate, wanted to get on the radio, too. So we got him sitting right here. He's getting a little shy, though, and he's not a very shy guy. But, yeah, he's ready to go, it looks like. He wants to play pool. If anybody's got some quarters, he wants to go play pool.
Doesn't sound like a bad deal there. Ben, your team coming into this week undefeated at 5-0, and yesterday came out. You moved up in the NCAA Division II top 25, pulled to 17th this week. I know you don't spend a lot of time looking at the polls, especially early in the year, but it has to be nice to get a little bit of recognition here early in the season.
You know, I think the biggest thing with the polls is it helps with recruiting. You know, now when you call kids and you talk to them, you're number 17 in the country, 5-0, and you know they always ask how's your season going, and so it makes for a real easy conversation. But outside of that, national rankings really don't mean anything. You know, the regional rankings are the things that matter, and those don't come till later in the season. So, you know, our objective needs to be to continue to win Division II games and give ourselves the best chance to make the conference tournament and then possibly the national tournament after that.
You got a couple of Division II wins over the weekend, defeating Upper Iowa 59-52 and then defeating Southwest Minnesota State 74-62. Two very good wins for your team.
Great wins. You know, Upper Iowa, first night, they're a tough team to beat. They're like a Truman of old, where they really move the basketball, run a lot of offense, and kind of wear you down throughout the game. We missed a lot of easy open shots throughout the game, but kept fighting, kept grinding. We're able to come away. Southwest Minnesota, they were a preseason top 25 team. That was a huge win. They beat Central the night before. So our guys are competing hard, playing with a lot of energy and a lot of toughness.
Well, it looks like early on, especially this past weekend, some strong defense and rebounding out of your squad.
Yeah, definitely. I thought we made an emphasis after the Graceland game. Graceland actually really challenged us. They came in and beat us on the boards, and we got back to practice and said, hey, this needs to be a strength of ours, guys, is rebounding defensively and offensively. And we've made it that, and we made it that for the last four games. It needs to continue, especially into this weekend. York's really good, and then Lindenwood. You know, I think they get 46% of their misses. They're a big-time offensive rebounding team, so we're going to have to be ready.
But another thing out this past weekend, beginning to see your team at the free throw line start knocking down some free throws, and that was something last year you got off to a little slow start, but by the end of the year, probably one of the top free throw shooting teams in the conference, and looks like you're kind of getting a little bit of the rhythm at the free throw line now.
Yeah, we were number one last year in the conference in free throw shooting, and again, we started really poor. I think a lot of that has to do, number one, we start to place an emphasis on it, but when we practice free throws, we don't ever do pressure free throws. We always just shoot 50 so that they don't, when they get up in the game, they don't associate pressure with free throws. They just go up comfortably and knock them down, and it seems to help over time. You know, it doesn't right away, but over time they're able to lock in and just understand there's not a lot of pressure on this free throw and go ahead and knock it down.
And one thing that's been a strong, consistent part of the game all five games up to this point, the play your bench, getting some good playoff guys coming off the bench.
Yeah, they bring a lot of energy. We always talk about, I read a book called The Energy Bus once, and we talk a lot about the positive energy that people bring, and that's what, you know, our bench does. They come off the bench, they bring a lot of positive energy, and it's contagious, and it keeps us going throughout the game.
I think one guy that's taking advantage of maybe a few more minutes available at the guard spot with Deshaun Cooper out with the injury early on is Connor Kirker, the freshman coming in, and he's giving you some minutes and playing some smart basketball out there.
He's been great. He's been great. You know, he's only going to get better. He's getting stronger. He's getting tougher. He's catching up with the speed of the game. You know, with him, he plays with great pace, and he's got an extremely high basketball IQ, which allows him to play in any game. And now we just need to catch up some of the intensity stuff, some of the communication stuff. If he catches up in those aspects, he's going to be forced to reckon with in this conference.
Again, we're going to go over just a little bit with the coaches show. We're talking with the head coach of the Northwest men's basketball team, Ben McCollum, on KXCV Maryville, KRNW Chillicothe. And Ben, as you look inside, you're getting some good play in there as well, and a guy that's really stepping up, and he's had a good career so far, but Dylan Starzl off to a great start, averaging nearly 14 points and 6 boards a game.
He came in the best shape of his life. I'm telling you, he... running this preseason, he wasn't last in the drills anymore. You know, he was getting up and down the floor. He really worked on his game finishing over the summer, and you're just seeing the results of that. We've also placed a greater emphasis on throwing him the basketball. I think last year, if you watched a lot of our games, he was open quite often, and we just refused to throw it to him for some... you know, the guards cannot post-feed anymore. They just don't want to throw it to the big guys. They just want to shoot it. And so we've made an emphasis on it this year. He's getting the ball, and we're shooting a high percentage because of it.
And Kosh Lake and Grant Kozak are giving some good minutes, too.
Yeah, they're gonna get nothing but better. Kyle Schlake, defensively, huge presence. Grant Kozak is actually probably our best low-post scorer. He's just got to continue to catch up with the speed of the game, in the game situations. I think against Umpire Iowa, he was probably our best post player, though. He was great in that game.
Now, another guy that is off to a pretty good start, giving you that spark off the bench, D'Angelo Haley, a guy that can give you some instant points coming off the bench.
Yeah, he does that. He's going to get some shots up now here pretty good. I think he's averaging 21 minutes a game and averaging like 16, 17 points. So he scores a point a minute, and he takes good shots. He's just a really good player. I mean, he's got, again, he's one of those guys with the high basketball IQ, great feel, knows how to find his shots, and then he's athletic enough to be able to finish them. So, you know, if I walk down to the gym, I can almost guarantee each and every day that D'Angelo Haley and Alex Sullivan will be in there getting shots. And that's why they're making them in games, and that's why they've been successful this season.
And one of the things, too, I think when you watch both of those guys play is they really feel comfortable with your system at this point in the season, as they were trying to adjust to that a little bit at this point to last year.
And it takes a little while to get comfortable with me. I'm a little high energy, if you haven't noticed. But, you know, they got used to it. They bought into the system. You know, they're as bought in as any player that we have. And you know, they also know X's and O's exactly what we expect. And you know, shoot, this is just the results of their hard work, and hopefully they continue to reap the rewards.
This weekend we've got a non-conference game at York College, 3:30 tip-off from Bearcat Arena, and when you look at York College, the one guy really stands out, Thaddeus Vermeil, I believe his name is, leading them, leading the NAIA and scoring nationally over 21 points per game.
Yeah, they're pretty good. They're probably a bad scheduling job by me. I think they average 94 points a game. And that kid is averaging 21, 22, undersized post, 6'3". Going to be a tough matchup for our 6'10 and 6'9 guy. You know, it's going to be a tough game for us. You know, it's really tough not only to get up for NAIs for your kids, but then one that's, you know, 9-3 or 10-2, whatever they are, and probably top 25 in NAI. We're going to have our hands full, but it's really going to prepare us for Lindenwood, who we have on Wednesday, who's really tough as well.
Yeah, we talked a little bit with Mark about how he's doing on the women's side with the non-conference schedule, on your side as well. You're playing some very good competition early on, and like you say, it's got to help when you get ready for the MIAA season.
Yeah, and we tried to really get a lot of Division II competition. We've got six of our, what is it, 8 or 9 non-conference games are Division II. And we tried to do that, whereas last year we were more NAI. And we did that to build up our strength of schedule. And obviously the NAI games don't count. You know, they count on your overall record, which people see, but as far as your regional rankings go, they don't mean anything. You know, you can win or lose. You can go beat Duke, and it's not going to count. So the Division II games are the ones that we really focus on. Really try to improve some things in the NAIA games to where we could grow, get better, and you know, York's one of those teams that's really going to challenge us.
And before we have a chance to talk to you again next week on the show, you've got that Wednesday matchup with Lindenwood, and nice thing about that, you open up the MIAA schedule at home with the matchup with Lindenwood next Wednesday.
Boy, and they're, I think they, last year they were 27-3. Every category in the MIAA this season they're leading. You know, offensive field goal percentage, three-point field goal percentage, offensive rebounding percentage, defensive rebounding percentage. I mean, they are great statistically right now, and they're undefeated. And it's going to be a tough contest for us, especially opening the conference season.
All right, Ben, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you, John.
That's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State men's basketball team, Ben McComb. We'll be back and wrap things up from the KXCB Bearcat Coaches Show right after this timeout from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, call 582-2699. Today's Bearcat Radio Network broadcast is underwritten by Edward Jones Financial Advisor J.R. Kurz, offering retirement and investment advice at 119 East 4th in Maryville. More information available at 660-582-7196.
This broadcast on the Bearcat Radio Network is brought to you by the Northwest Medical Center of Albany, Missouri. The Northwest Medical Center offers ambulatory and general surgery, cardiac rehabilitation, dietary counseling, and occupational therapy at 705 North College in Albany, Missouri. Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from A&G Restaurant in Maryville. A&G provides a sit-down menu, banquet rooms, and catering located at 208 North Main in Maryville. More information available at agrestaurant.com. Today's broadcast is brought to you by MTE Office Center with locations in Maryville and Cameron, providing computers, printing, networking, furniture, and office supplies since 1935. MTE Office Center at 216 East 3rd in Maryville and 811 South Walnut in Cameron. To wrap things up, we've got one more guest to talk with this evening, the head coach of the Northwest men's and women's tennis team. Mark Rosewell is with us this evening. Mark, you've got some news about your teams, both being ranked very high in the Central Region rankings. You got one team ranked 1 and another team ranked 2 right now.
We do, John, and we're very pleased about that. You know, we try to be consistent always with both programs, and I think one on one and two on the other one, that's a good start.
Hey, let's talk about your men right now and what really stands out as far as getting the big ranking there.
Well, I think we had really a fabulous ITA, probably the best one that since we started doing this tournament 25 years ago, and just played very well. I don't know why. timing thing or whatever, but we just got hot in the tournament and really played very well. You know, advanced our doubles team to the national top eight teams in the country, and got the team ranking of 25 in the country out of that. And then we've got a couple singles players that are ranked in the top 50, too.
Now, you also had an announcement, I believe, last week about bringing in a player on the women's side with the early signing period that you've got coming into the program.
Got a young lady from John Van Cleve's old high school where he coached at, Salina, Kansas. And she's a state champion and had a fabulous record. Very, very good student. Got, she's like at the top of the class. And she had a lot of the Kansas schools looking at her, but we were able to get her here.
And it won't be long before you get on the court to get ready for the spring season.
Yeah, I tell you, this fall, what a fabulous weather we've had. I can't ever remember having a better fall. Kids are still out practicing on their own and will be the next week. It's remarkable, the weather we've had here. I feel like we're in Florida or something.
All right, Mark, thanks a lot for being with us.
Okay, John, always a pleasure.
That's the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State men's and women's tennis teams, Mark Rosewell, with us on the program. We'll be talking with Mark as we get closer to the start of the season as well, and that's just around the corner there as his season gets underway in February. Thanks to everyone involved with our program tonight here at the Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Don't forget, we've got a busy weekend coming up on the Bearcat Radio Network. The Northwest women are in Claremore, Oklahoma to face Rogers State. That's a 2 o'clock tip-off on Saturday. We'll have the broadcast beginning at 1:40 with our pregame. Then right after that, it'll be to Bearcat Arena for the Northwest men's matchup with York College in that 3:30 tip-off. So don't forget basketball coming up this weekend on KXCV, KRNW, and the Bearcat Radio Network. Thanks to Rodney Harris. I'm John Coffey, and so long from the Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.